It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Looks like a clinic on how not to do things on the baseball field.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz.
Brought to you by Big Y Grocery Store, T-Mobile, Needham Bank, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Jordan's Furniture, Integrity from Marvin Windows and Doors, TestTrips.com, Acura of Auburn, Anderson McQuay, Direct Federal Credit Union, Gravely Lawnmowers, AceTicket.com, WFXD-TV, and Mohegan Sun.
Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
I'm not concerned. I think that we need to get better. I think walks are getting up there now. A lot of 3-1 counts, a lot of 2-strike hits. That's not good, and they know it. That's something that we've been talking about, and we trust the stuff, but at the end we have to execute. And, you know, for whatever we are in the standings, whatever, we have a lot of margin to improve, which is very important. You know, we didn't go cut up on the whole we got 91 wins. We know we have to be better. We know that, and we keep working at it.
So that's the manager of the Red Sox, Alex Cora, after last night's game against the Miami Marlins. For a second there, I almost said Florida again, Murray. I just can't help it with that one. And make no mistake, I was in the stands last night. Boy, was it uncomfortable. And I'm not even talking about the temperatures over at Fenway Park. Watching those final two innings, that was uncomfortable. And so again, listen to the manager there. Listen to the manager. And I'm talking to you if you think I've been needlessly harping on the Red Sox bullpen this year. Okay, listen to the manager. Listen to what he says. Walks are getting up there now. A lot of 3-1 counts. We trust their stuff, but we have to execute. We have a margin to improve, and we're going to work at that. 617-779-0985. Again, 617-779-0985. We have a giveaway a little bit later in the program. We'll get to that. We'll get to David Price, but don't make any mistake. The story last night at Fenway Park was the Red Sox bullpen, their continued ineptitude in the late innings, and Cora's assessment of it. Because this is one of the things I'm really starting to like about Alex Cora. He doesn't gloss over it. He hasn't glossed over it all year long. When Rafael Devers has played poorly and made mistakes, he has said, no, he's got to get better with what we're trying to do and what we're trying to accomplish. We can't have those kinds of mistakes. Last night, after a quote-unquote walk-off win, walks are getting up there, a lot of 3-1 counts. We trust the stuff, but we have to execute. And this line, too, don't underestimate the significance of this line. We have a margin to improve, and we're going to work at that. We have a margin to improve. You know how else I would read that, Murray? We're not getting help. We're not getting help between now and August 31st.
No, we got to figure it out internally because this is all we got.
There are no bodies coming in magically off the waiver wire.
Do you take that as a shot at Dombrowski?
I don't, because I don't think Cora meant it that way. I think what he meant is what we have is what we have. And it's going to be hard for us to add anybody, especially anybody good. So you know what?
I wouldn't blame him, though. I mean, this hand he's been dealt is certainly not a good one, and he obviously knows that in terms of the bullpen, I'm saying.
So, and listen, I wouldn't blame him either. I don't think he's quite there yet. He's a rookie manager. I doubt he's tweaking the GM. I doubt it. But he has every right to. Everything he said there is 100% right. And again, we'll get to more Cora here in a minute, because to me, this is part of the story, given that he's a rookie manager. Cora's bluntness with regard to his relievers. Could you imagine John Farrell making that same sort of assessment? Walks are getting up there. A lot of 3-1 counts. We trust their stuff, but we have to execute. We have a margin to improve, and we're going to work at that. No glossing it over. Listen, that thing last night, that was a freaking joke. That was a joke in the eighth and ninth innings. Major league pitchers on a team with the best record in baseball, chasing one of the best records of all time, probably the best winning season, regular season, in Red Sox history. And you got guys on the mound repeatedly getting behind in the count, putting men on the bases, and blowing a game against a minor league team. Again, the Marlins, 29th in the major leagues in runs scored, 29th in the major leagues in home runs. They hit two of them in the eighth inning off of Matt Barnes, 30th in the major leagues in OPS. And if you still want to believe that bullpen's going to be just fine come playoff time, then go ahead. Okay, maybe you believe in the Easter Bunny too. Let's get to your calls right away. Doug is in Dover. Go ahead, Doug.
Maz, you know, you guys kill me. You, Murray, and I only wish Falco was in on this conversation, because you're like three old ladies sitting on the porch finding something to pick about. The best team in baseball. Did you ever think that maybe they're tired?
Doug, do you believe in the bullpen?
If they're going to have a slump, which is inevitable, wouldn't you rather have the slump in the end of August and not in October?
Doug, do you believe in the bullpen?
I believe that they can get the job done. I think it's been a long season so far.
Yes or no, do you believe in the bullpen?
Yeah, I do. I believe in the team. I don't...
I didn't ask you about the team. I didn't ask you about the team. I asked you about the bullpen. Do you believe in the bullpen, yes or no?
Yes, I do.
Okay, I don't. I don't, and I'm willing to bet today that you are in the minority. Okay, and again, that's fine. Okay, lots of people have been in the minority and been right. But I don't know how you could watch these guys over the last years of their careers, the last several years of their careers, and think that somehow magically it's going to work. You know what Matt Barnes averages per walks per nine innings this year? You know what the number is? Okay, and I'm going to get it for you exactly. 4.6. Last year, it was 3.6. The year before that, it was 4.2. So you know what the bottom line is? On average, it's around 4.1, give or take. It hasn't changed in 3 years. Joe Kelly's walk per nine, 4.3, 4.2, 5.2. That hasn't changed in 3 years. He still doesn't throw strikes with consistently. 3 years. 3 years. Craig Kimbrell doesn't either, but at least his stuff is so off the charts good, and frankly, you don't have a choice with him. He's your closer. Where else are you going to go? But the other guys, you could have added a setup man at the deadline.
It's a large enough sample size, Maz, to show that these guys are mostly incapable of shutting the other team down when it matters. Like, I don't know how you can look at this bullpen and not feel a little bit shook as a Red Sox fan. Yes, they've had a great season. We all know that. They're poised to make a deep run in the playoffs. But they're the biggest red flag with this team all year long, including last year too, but this year more than ever. And you look at a game like last night, which is the microcosm of the problem, it's the bullpen.
And you know,
anyone to trust in that eighth inning.
And you know what, Murray? Alex Cora knows it. Alex Cora knows it. Again, forget, if you don't want to believe me, don't believe me. That's fine. I mean, I admit I'm hard on the team. You know, I get very critical of them, and nothing irritates me more than pitchers who can't throw strikes, except for guys who can't throw strikes and take 40 seconds between pitches like Heath Embry does on the mound. Holy crap, on a 95-degree night, I was ready to run out there and strangle the guy myself. I was ready to jump out of Section 19 last night, run out to the mound, and strangle Heath Embry for causing people in the stadium heat stroke last night. My father, 82 years old, sitting at the game with me last night, 82, has got all the time in the world. He thinks Heath Embry is slow. Like, that should tell you plenty. Jared is in Roxbury. Jared, go ahead.
Hey, man. These teams always have trouble and kill me. Like, they haven't watched the game all year. Just the bullpen sucks, and we're in trouble, and there's only one way to fix it. And I don't even think that's going to get the job done, because we play Cleveland first round, it's over. So the only thing they can do is, Sale's got to win game one, you leave Price, Porcello in, and then you need Eduardo to pitch well, and then you got to put Evaldi in the eighth. That's
okay.
The only chance we have.
Okay.
This bullpen sucks.
So, Jared, I'm going to let you go because your phone isn't great. And overall, look, generally, the bullpen, I don't want to say they suck. Okay, because suck is really, really bad. These guys have ability. I'm not telling you they don't have ability. They do. But they're middle relievers. Sixth inning guys, maybe seventh. In the eighth, in a tight game against a good team, you can't put these guys in there. And it's not just about the walks. Okay? It's not just about the walks. It's about putting yourself in vulnerable positions. And again, there was one, you know, there were a number of at-bats last night that illustrated it. And I'll give you a detailed assessment of it in the next segment. But I want to take more of your calls first. Rich is in Worcester. Rich, go ahead.
Hey, Matt. How's it going?
Good.
So I'm looking bigger picture here. By absolutely no means am I putting my stamp of approval on last night. It was awful. Probably one of the worst relief performances collectively I've seen. But bigger picture, don't you think you guys today from 2-6 would have been not freaking out, but would have been piling on? It's only 5.5, 29 to go. So, again, awful. It was tough to watch. But a win's a win at this point because if it gets down to 4.5 or 4, we're gonna have a whole nother issue on our hands.
Okay, so, Rich, I don't know if you listened to the show yesterday or not, and I'm not saying that you should listen to it every day. You should, but if you didn't, I understand. Okay, what I said yesterday, I'm not, maybe it was 2 days ago, I'm not worried until he gets down to 3. Then I'll pay attention. The Yankees aren't going to catch the Red Sox. And I know New York came back late last night, and it looked like the Red Sox were going to blow it, and that was going to get it to 5.5. I still think the Yankees aren't going to catch the Red Sox. The Yankees had to scrape for that win last night. They were down 4-2. They were down 2-0 in the early part of the game. So listen, the Yankees aren't playing great either. I mean, overall, they're playing better than the Red Sox are. But I don't think the Red Sox are blowing the division. To me, this isn't about the division. This is about the Red Sox having had the same problem all year long. And their president, and in fact, honestly, they've really had the same problem for about 3 years. It's 2 or 3 years now. Remember, they had the same collection of pitchers last year, and Dave Dombrowski felt the need to go out and get Addison Reed. Then they bring the same cast back, and this year, he didn't add anyone. He didn't add anybody in terms of bullpen help at the deadline. Caleb's in Waltham. Go ahead, Caleb. Okay, Caleb's asleep at the switch, so we'll move right along here.
Hello?
Chuck is in the car. Chuck, what do you got?
Yeah, Tony, I agree with you 100% on this bullpen. I'm sick and tired of seeing Barnes and Kelly out there. Why they're still on the team in the first place, I don't know. But we pay those guys to do one thing, to come in and pitch one inning, and they can't get it done. That tells me there's something more going on than just, you know, it's mechanics or whatever. But I'm blaming the pitchers, and I'm blaming Dombrowski. You had the chance to get some relief, get somebody else. Instead, he spends the money on guys like Kinsler, which has been a waste. Okay.
Hey, Chuck, before you go on, okay, on, Kimbrel wasn't a waste last year. Kimbrel was good last year.
Okay, Kimbrel's good last year, but talking about...
So, Chuck, just hold on one second. Okay, just hold on one second. Joe Kelly basically has been the same reliever now for 2 years, maybe even three. Matt Barnes has been the same. Matt Barnes has been the same reliever for 3 years, and Heath Embry, to me, has been the same guy his whole career. Okay, so who is more to blame? Those guys for continuing to be what they are, or Dave Dombrowski for thinking that somehow they were going to become great relievers?
I blame Dombrowski. I would blame Dombrowski. But at the same time, come on. I mean, they got to pitch one inning. They can't figure it out. I mean, I don't know. You're right. If they're consistently that bad, why hasn't Dombrowski moved? Why are they still coming out of that bullpen? I don't understand it.
Okay, so Chuck, again, when you say consistently that bad, they're not that bad. It's not like they belong. They shouldn't be in the big leagues. I'm not going to go that far. Matt Barnes is a big league pitcher. So is Kelly. So is Hembry. But they are middle relievers / early setup men. Sixth or seventh inning. That's what they are. You put them in greater pressure situations, particularly against good teams, and they can't throw strikes with regularity. And their inability to throw strikes with regularity manifests itself in a million different ways. It's not just the fact that Craig Kimbrel walked two guys last night, or that Barnes issued a walk, or that Hembry issued a walk. It's not solely about that. Okay, and Barnes actually didn't even walk a batter last night. But he still hurt himself with his inability to throw strikes. We have a giveaway later, but I'm going to explain exactly what I'm talking about with Matt Barnes when we come back.
Baseball. with Tony Maz. 98.5 The Sports Hub. From the field.
You're the one who threw the pitch.
To the clubhouse.
They're a reliever short.
To the corner office.
That sends all the wrong messages.
We have the Sox covered.
Because that's the way I look at it.
The baseball reporters on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Matt Barnes. Heath Hembry. Joe Kelly. And those other guys.
It's time to spin the wheel of gutless bums. Red Sox manager Alex Cora is faced with a tough decision. Who to use in a high leverage situation late in the game. Now, let's spin the wheel.
Thornburg, Kimbrough, Brazzers, Kimbrough, Thornburg, Brazzers, Kimbrough, Brazzers, Kimbrough, Thornburg, Brazzers, Kimbrough, Brazzers, Kimbrough, Thornburg, Kimbrough, Kimbrough, Thornburg, Kimbrough, 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 Kim That one shot out toward the triangle. Long run. Jackie Bradley hit for the bullpen, and that ball gets out of here. That is gone. Castro goes the other way and slams a home run off Barnes to tie it. They go back to back, and it's a 4-4 game. Embry trying to prevent disaster here. And a little pop-up into left. Long run. Xander Bogaerts. He can't get it. One run is in. Here's the fire to the plate. The tag. Two-run score. A little bloop shot into left. Xander Bogaerts could not get there. And Miami has a 6-4 lead. Can you believe that? Right-handers 1-2 again. And there's a base hit into right. Charging Mookie Betts. Rivera. Here's the throw home. The tag is not in time. The Marlins have tied it at 7. And the bullpen struggle continues tonight as Kimbrel blows the save.
You know, it's easy to blame the guys on the wheel of gutless bums. It's easy to blame those guys. The more I think about it, though, the guy I really blame is the guy that built the wheel of gutless bums. These guys are who they are. They are. None of them have really changed. They're all guys who have had trouble throwing strikes and commanding the baseball in their major league careers. 3 years. 3 years for Barnes. 3 years for Kelly. Embry's the same guy. Embry, to me, is a right-handed specialist. Maybe he's improved a little in that way. But you know what? He has trouble throwing strikes, too. They all do. So we're going to blame them when they've been basically the same guys? Or are we going to blame Dave Dombrowski for somehow thinking that magically overnight they would change? My buddy OB's in Chelmsford. What do you got, pal?
All right. I'm not talking about regular season. I'm talking because no one cares if they beat the 2001 Mariners regular season record. Maybe John Oliver cares, but nobody else.
Sure.
The fact of the matter is they have a good lineup. They have two MVP candidates with Martinez and Betts, and they have two possible Cy Young winners with, Sale and Price. So I'd rather have a good beginning of the lineup and good starting pitching than a bullpen, because you might not even ever get to your bullpen if your starters aren't going to get you there.
Okay, so again, that's an either or, but let me just ask you, OB, purely in a vacuum, do you believe in their bullpen?
I think that those two factors, make that less of a concern. So do I believe in it? No, I don't.
Okay, so again,
but, I mean, it's fixed by offense and by good pitching.
Okay, so I don't know if it's entirely fixed. I don't. This is what I'm. Sooner or later, you got to give the ball to somebody at the end of the game, unless your starters are throwing complete games all the time, and these guys haven't done well in the postseason to give you that. So I just think it's a dangerous way to try to win, especially in this day and age. Now, look, you can tell me over and over and over again, and I'll agree, the Astros did it differently last year. Is that really a reliable formula? That's what I would say to you. Is it a reliable formula? And I am astonished that they did not add a reliever at the trade deadline. I'll rephrase. That Dave Dombrowski did not add a reliable reliever at the trading deadline. And so I'll tell you what, you want to look over the last couple of years. The Cubs 2 years ago. You say, well, you know what, Aroldis Chapman's a little erratic there. Fine, they also had Wade. Was Wade Davis on that team? Did you guys check that? Just do me a favor. But the point being is, all the Red Sox have is guys who can't throw strikes. That's all they have out there. Now, Brazier, I don't know. But again, is he a proven commodity? It's just a little scary with what they have out there, given what they have at stake. Craig's in Lowell.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
I'd like to just discuss just this whole bullpen fiasco we got going on and the upcoming schedule in September. We're going to be stressing our starters out throughout you know, the rest of the long season that we have. And we're facing a lot of good teams in September. We have Atlanta, we have Houston, we have the Yankees twice, and we have Cleveland. And in between that, I think we have two bum teams maybe to try to fluff our record.
Okay.
These games that we've been losing, these are ones we have to win right now.
Okay, so Craig, I'm not worried about the wins and losses in the regular season because I think the Red Sox have already won the division. I've said that consistently. I'm not going to change my mind just because the bullpen looked bad last night against the Marlins. They're still better than the large majority of teams that they're going to play over the course of a season. So they're going to see some better competition here down the stretch. I am less worried about all that. Rosters will expand in September. They'll get a bunch of days off before the division series starts, and they'll get days off during the postseason. And I think overall, the workload has been spread out pretty well. I am worried about the quality of the pitching that they have in the eighth and ninth innings. And I didn't include the ninth until recently. And I keep meaning to get to this thing with Matt Barnes and what I'm talking about in terms of the absence or the inability to throw strikes consistently, how it manifests itself. And I've already backed myself into a corner, so I got to put that off for a minute. Bob's in Methuen. Go ahead, Bob.
Hey, Tony. Called up because I want to get your thoughts on the curious handling of Greg Kimbrell in the second half.
Okay, go ahead. In what way?
He certainly hasn't pitched all that often in the second half. And I think that could be leading to part of his problems he's had. I mean, if you take a look back going into Sunday's game, I believe he had only pitched 10 times in the second half, once in 11 days. So either there's something going on with him that the Red Sox haven't come out and said, but how do you explain he pitches 41 times in the first half and basically his usage has gone way down in the second half?
Okay, so Bob, this was an unusual year, right? Again, remember that the second half now is only a little more than a month old. It's only a little more than a month old. So the All-Star break was later this year. I think the Red Sox played 98 games in the first half. Is that right? Something like that? They were right around 100. They were just under 100 games in the first half. So it's not an 81-81 type of thing. Okay, now I will tell you that Kimbrell has not pitched as frequently as maybe he did in the first half. Some of that's because they've been losing. He had to pitch in a game in Tampa over the weekend, a 9-1 loss, I think it was, where they had to use him because he hadn't pitched in a while. So some of the losses are lopsided. Some of the wins are lopsided. Like, the save opportunities haven't necessarily come up like they have in the past. So, but again, I'm not blaming the manager for that. I'm not. I mean, Craig Kimbrell is a guy who can get out of whack. We've seen him when John Farrow was the manager. And honestly, I'm not even talking about Kimbrell. You want to leave Kimbrell off the list? Leave him off the list. Kimbrell's your closer. You don't have anywhere else to go there. You got to fix him. And he has the ability and has proven that when he's right, he can throw strikes and mow people down. Like, he has at least shown it. These other guys have never really shown it with any level of consistency. None. 617-779-0985. Murray's Get Your Headlines, and when we come back. Again, to me, the inability to throw strikes doesn't just manifest itself in walks or hit batters. And I'll try to explain that in more detail. We'll give you a specific at bat. I was at the ball game last night, so I was a little more dialed in than I normally am, sitting on my couch, snacking and dozing off half the time. Okay, I was at the ballpark last night, and I was a little more focused. And there was something that really struck me during one of Barnes' at-bats. In fact, it was the first at-bat against him in the game. We'll get to the details on that after Murray gets you caught up.
Matt Barnes!
Sports Hub Headlines.
Red Sox getting ready to play this second of this two-game series against the Miami Marlins with David Price getting the start. The Marlins counter with right-hander Trevor Richards. First pitch just mere minutes away at a steamy Fenway Park. Also, Alex Speer of the Boston Globe first to report that starting pitcher Stephen Wright going to be added to the roster on September 1st. Chris Sale also going to play catch throughout the weekend, at which point the Red Sox are going to actually map out his next steps for his return. To the NFL, quarterback Aaron Rodgers and the Packers today agree to a record-breaking four-year, $134 million extension that has an AAV of $33.5 million. The New York Jets traded quarterback Teddy Bridgewater to the New Orleans Saints in exchange for a third-round draft pick in 2019. Packers trading backup quarterback Brett Hundley to the Seahawks. Seahawks send a sixth-round pick in 2019 to Green Bay in that deal. Seahawks also signed wide receiver Tyler Lockett to a multi-year contract extension today. Carries a base value of $31.8 million over 3 years. And the Cleveland Browns linebacker Michael Kendricks apologized after being charged this afternoon with insider trading by federal prosecutors to make nearly over $1 million in legal profits on four major investments 4 years ago when he was then with the Eagles. Headlines are brought to you by the 99 Restaurants. When the Red Sox win, kids eat free. So visit the 99 a day after the Red Sox win, and kids get a free meal from the kids menu with every adult entree that's purchased. I'm Jim Murray for Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 Sports Hub. Next update, it's
ball 2-2, because I don't think he wants to throw the curve, and B, if he does, I don't think he can throw it for a strike. So you know what happened? Barnes threw a fastball. Anderson was sitting on it and got a single. And then Realmuto hit a home run, and that was on a 2-0 pitch. So again, now it's 2-0, man on first base. Barnes is thinking, well, he can't throw a curve 2-0. What am I going to do, fall behind 3-0 and walk him, bring the tying run to the plate? So Realmuto hits a home run. Now it's 4-3. Then Starlin Castro comes to the plate, and Castro gets ball one. Then he gets strike one on a curveball. So now it's 1-1. But again, Barnes doesn't want to fall behind 2-1. Because if he gets to 2-1, then all of a sudden it's, geez, now I don't think I can throw my breaking ball 2-1 because then I'm 3-1. See, again, it's his inability to throw strikes, either with his fastball consistently or his curve consistently, that A, gets him behind in the count. And then even if the count is even, even if the count is 2-2, he fears a walk. The plate gets smaller. The hitters can dial in. So you know what happens? Single, home run, home run. To a team that is among the worst in baseball offensively. I mean, if you don't throw strikes, it really doesn't, and quality strikes, it really doesn't matter if you throw 100. I mean, look at the guy the Marlins brought in last night. What was that guy's name? Taynor Guerrero? Is that his name, Taynor?
I think that's what it was, yeah. You shouldn't know the name, Mez.
That guy hit 101 miles an hour last night.
Tehran.
Half of his pitches missed the strike zone entirely. One of them hit the backstop, I think. You remember that?
Yes.
That was unbelievable. Brian's in a car. Go ahead, Brian.
Hey, Mez, you hit the nail right on the head, and that's what I was going for with my point. I was thinking, what do you think about, it's an idea that I really haven't heard floating around. He's done everything asked of him and exceeded expectations. But what do you think about Hector Velasquez in that eighth inning, or seventh or eighth inning?
Okay, so look, Velasquez has been a good little swing man for them. And overall, there were things I like about Velasquez. He's usually around the plate, Brian. I just don't think his stuff is good enough to pitch that late in the game. I mean, the same way I would tell you about Brian Johnson. I like Brian Johnson. As an eighth inning guy, no way. As an eighth inning guy, you need a guy that throws hard and throws strikes. Really. I mean, that's what you need, and they don't have it. And I don't know how they're going to get it. So Cora's comments about they're going to have to basically work it, you know, improve the margin, get these guys better. I think that's the only way they can go. But the season is now 5 months old. All of a sudden, this is going to change. Caller on line six, I don't have a name here for you, but it says bullpen debacle for the Red Sox compared to the Yankees. Go ahead.
Yeah, Tony. So, I mean, I'm watching the Yankees game last week, and they go to extra innings against the same lowly Marlins, and Chapman gets hurt, and they bring in Tommy Kahnle, who's like their, what, eighth or ninth guy out of the bullpen?
Correct.
And I'm sitting there watching them, and I'm saying, I would take Tommy Kahnle over every guy in the Red Sox bullpen not named Craig Kimball. And I just don't know how that's possible, that Cashman can get bullpen assets like that and Dombrowski can't. Is he gun-shy for bad moves he's made in the past or what? But it just blew my mind that that was the case.
Okay, so look, again, I think Dombrowski is a guy to blame here. He's basically piled up the bullpen with a bunch of guys who can't throw strikes. And look, the Yankees have some of these guys too. I mean, Aroldis Chapman this year, 5.2 walks per nine. Way too high. But he's really the only major outlier. Dellin Betances, 3.3. Still a little too high for my liking, but he's not over four. David Robertson, 3.0 walks per nine. Like, he's always around the plate. So I look at those guys and I say, okay, like, at least the Yankees have some guys in their bullpen that throw strikes with some kind of regularity. The Red Sox, it feels to me like they don't. At least not guys who throw hard and strike people out.
Seven.